Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, May 17th, 2018. We have 23 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, west winds today, 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves from the west, 2 feet high at 4 seconds. The winds and the wind waves always match up because the one causes the other. The winds cause those wind waves. And the northwest swells coming in from the northwest, from further out to sea, possibly as far away as Japan sometimes, 4 feet high at 9 seconds apart. And sometimes when the local winds are coming from a different direction than those prevailing swells, you can see a phenomenon called confused seas, where it's kind of sloppy out there because the forces are just coming at one another from different directions. On the Columbia River Bar this morning, we have combined seas 3 feet through tonight. They'll temporarily build to about 7 feet during those max ebb current times that happen about every 12 hours. We had one around 6:45 this morning, another one around 7:15 this evening, and another one around 7:30 tomorrow morning. So times to stay away from the Columbia River Bar for those of us who are not bar pilots or the Coast Guard. Today I'm going to be talking more with you. I had so many ships to talk about yesterday that I didn't get to tell you some more things about cargo ship losses. What are some of the reasons why ships sink or become disabled or are essentially not usable after some calamity happens to them? So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about our ship schedule for the day. 4 inbounders, 5 in the Astoria Anchorage, 4 in the Rice Island Anchorage, and 10 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. The Global Vision arrives from Japan, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She'll be picking up weed eventually upriver. She'll arrive there around 7:30 a.m. The Atlantic Venus is arriving from Japan, headed for Kalama. She's got steel on board, probably big coils of steel. And if that's the case with this kind of cargo, has to be lashed very, very carefully inside the ship because, oh boy, if it becomes destabilized and starts rolling around, it could cause the ship to capsize and sink. So these break bulk cargoes, as they're referred to, big pieces of things, have to be very carefully lashed down, and they have crew members whose job it is during a voyage to go around and make sure that, say, the cars, the pallets, the big coils of steel, the containers are all very carefully secured so that there's a lot of movement at sea, even in calm weather, that those things don't start rolling around or moving around and destabilizing the ship. So the Atlantic Venus will be passing Astoria probably about 8:30 in the morning and arriving in Kalama around maybe 5 hours later. The Songa Pride is next inbound from Taiwan. She's a petroleum tanker headed for Vancouver, Washington, passing Astoria about 2 p.m. You might see her in Vancouver by about 8 p.m. The Martorell is a car carrier arriving from Vancouver, B.C. She was on yesterday's schedule as well. She's coming in with Hondas on board, and that means that she may leave with Fords on board, headed for South Korea. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland around 3:30 a.m. on Friday morning. And those car carriers have a very short turnaround time, usually less than 24 hours. So it can make for a tired crew. It takes them, 8 hours to get from the Columbia River Bar to get up there. They are working the whole time that they're in port, and then another 8 hours to get out. It can be a long run for those folks on those car carriers. And container ships are the same way. They have a very short turnaround time. Bulk carriers, not so much. They can stay in port for days or even a week at a time. In the Astoria Anchorage, the Global Vision heads for the Kalama Anchorage from the Astoria Anchorage. She's going to be picking up wheat at Kalama. She'll leave around 4 p.m. You might see her about 5 hours later in Kalama. The Astrea, the Sudestada, the Atalia, and the Spring Aeolian are awaiting orders in the Astoria Anchorage. And at the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, but you can still see it from the waterfront. It's on the Washington side. So if you're on the Megler Bridge or up at the Astoria Column, you can see what looks like a big line of ships. It's because there are two anchorages actually there. So we have the Three Saskias. She's headed for Kalama this morning at about 11 a.m. To pick up wheat. She'll arrive in Kalama around maybe 4 p.m. or so. And that leaves the New Confidence, the Star Sophia, and the Aeolian Fortune in the Rice Island Anchorage. In our outbounders, we have the Star Minerva. She's a bulk carrier leaving the Port of Portland with soda ash on board at about 5:30 a.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 11:30. And the Shandong Hai Chan is leaving Longview carrying wheat at about 11:30 a.m. and passing Astoria outbound around 3 p.m. Apologies to any Chinese speakers if I'm butchering that name. I'm pronouncing it as well as I can with my English. Queen Asia is our next outbounder, leaving Vancouver, carrying wheat, leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. The Star Crimson is leaving Portland, carrying wheat at about 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. We have the Splendor leaving Portland, carrying wheat. She's a bulk carrier. Leaving around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m., and the Grand Aurora leaving Portland with Hyundais on board, leaving around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around midnight. I'll try and post the rest of this ship schedule online later today, and I'll catch up with some of the podcasts for the past few days on the ship report that I haven't gotten to post yet. But I want to talk to you about cargo right now. I got a hold of this report through an article that I read about. It's a bulk carrier casualty report created by an organization called the International Association of Dry Cargo Ship Owners, and they represent maybe 26% of the worldwide bulk fleet. They have people, companies that are members, and they report data on lots of things, but among them are ship losses. And they came out with this report, and I wanted to share some of it with you because it's just interesting. We see ships coming and going. You know, we really see very little about the mishaps that can happen. Occasionally, when there's engine failure or something, we'll see a ship briefly run aground here. But it's not catastrophic stuff. It's very, very rare that anything really bad happens. But bad things do happen elsewhere. And this is reflected in these statistics. So this is for the nine-year period between 2008 and 2017. Among the members of this association, there were an average of 5 ships per year lost during that nine-year period, an average of 20 lives lost per year. Consider that. In most of our jobs, we don't have to worry about that kind of lives lost statistic when most of us go to work every day. The average age of the ships that were lost was about 24 years old. The average age of a ship, a lifespan of a ship, is about 30 years. So these vessels that were having all these problems were generally older vessels. I don't know whether that is really figures into, you know, because some of the things that happened to them had to do with things that were not really related to the age of the ship, but it's interesting. 2.7 million deadweight tons of cargo were lost because of these mishaps. Causes in terms of the most loss of life involved were liquefaction, which I mentioned yesterday, which is a very interesting phenomenon in which some kinds of dry cargoes, like nickel ore, if this humidity in the cargo hold reaches a certain amount, it creates like a cushion of moisture around these little round particles that make up the cargo, and it can start behaving like a liquid. So nickel ore, ships with nickel ore are notorious for destabilizing. The cargo starts sloshing around, and in any kind of difficult conditions, the ship can just roll over and sink. Fire was another cause of ship loss. Flooding, keeping the water on the outside, is a very important thing in ships, as you can imagine. Collisions, and the most common cause of ship loss is grounding. You know, running into shallow water, and that is mostly human error when those kinds of things happen. These statistics don't comprise all of the ships out there operating in the areas of the world, in the merchant world fleet. In lots of parts of the world, the regulations are not strict, and ships can be poorly maintained. If you read a really interesting book, which I just love this book, every once in a while I reread it, The Outlaw Sea by William Langwish. He's a journalist. According to his research, which was quite extensive, overall in the world fleet, an average of one ship per week disappears somewhere on the oceans of the world. And I've read statistics and other sources that indicate more than that, even 2 ships a week. Ship loss from poorly maintained vessels, hijacking, weather, among causes. And so in the U.S. and Europe, we see the better maintained ships. The Coast Guard is pretty strict here. If you come in here with a poorly maintained ship, you'll have to stay here until it gets fixed. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.